and welcome to Ryan Talks Tax, a podcast to keep you up to date on the latest developments in Canadian tax and government funding. I'm Jim Day. We're back from our summer hiatus, and we have lots to catch up on. I'd like to start by reviewing some of the major government funding programs announced in Western Canada last spring during what I like to call provincial budget season. To help us sort through it, we're joined by Matt Monjon, a marketing specialist at MentorWorks, which is a Ryan company that specializes in sourcing Canadian government funding programs. Hi, Matt. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Jim. Thank you so much for having me on. Great to be here. And great to be talking about some of these fantastic budgets that we saw come out recently for all the different provincial ones. They came out in about between the time of the end of March and the beginning of April is when we saw most of them release. And so definitely an exciting time for budgets right now, because you can see that the Canadian government is just putting a lot of different funding programs together. And they're also adapting to, of course, the craziness of the pandemic. We're seeing a lot of new kinds of programs coming out that we've never seen before. And so for the purpose of just this call right now, I'm just going to go through and speak about only business funding programs that would be in these different budgets that have released. And that relates to grant programs, any wage subsidies, any no-interest loan programs that the government offers, as well as some tax credits. And so a lot of these budgets will focus on areas such as housing and other issues that we won't be covering just because of the sheer amount of time that it would take to kind of give a high-level focus or overview of each of these programs.
Yeah, no, that sounds great, Matt. I mean, even though, we're all hopeful that the pandemic is winding down, there was still lots of spending in those provincial budgets. So there's tons to talk about. And we appreciate you joining the podcast to tell us about it. Before we get into sort of specific programs in particular provinces, what was your overall take? Like, did you notice any themes coming out of the provincial budgets out west?
Definitely, yeah. So you can see that pretty much across the board on all of the Western province programs and even across the board on almost Canada-wide. Jobs is a huge priority. Jobs and upskilling of jobs with training programs is a huge priority for all of these different provincial budgets. And so we're seeing a lot of programs, mainly the Canada Jobs Program, or it's the Canada Jobs Program will go through and have different provincial variants of Canada Alberta Jobs Program, Canada British Columbia Jobs Program. One for each of the different provinces across Canada. And so this program, it depends on which province that you're in, but they will fund a good chunk of your training from a third-party training vendor. The cost of that one can be subsidized to come into your business and to train your employees on a new different kind of skill or program or a process that you may not have previously had. And so we're seeing across the board, a lot of these provinces are funding in towards that program. We're also seeing a lot of funding towards climate change and different climate change activities. And so this is definitely very relevant for a lot of businesses out there, because there are a ton of different retrofit programs, a lot of new tech adoption programs, a lot of new research and development programs that the government is going through and creating a lot of procurement contracts for companies to come in and be paid to create a lot of these solutions that the government has yet to fill for some of these targets that they have for their 2050 targets, as well as some provinces have their own 2030 targets for net zero climate and greenhouse gases that come out of the province. And so we're seeing a huge lot of funding towards those kinds of programs. And then the last section that we're seeing is a lot of specific sectors that are going through and giving funding that needed funding or that are a huge income generation for the province themselves. And they'll go through and create different funding programs to help de-risk projects for them, helping to create new facilities over in their province, as well as also enticing other businesses from outside of Canada to come and move into their province and set up shop over there. Again, relating back to that first section on creating new jobs and whatnot too. So they're all intertwined of the climate change projects will also help to create jobs, and these strengthening different specific sectors will also help to create new jobs.
Yeah, it does seem like the provinces and the federal government are on the same page when it comes to jobs and climate change. And of course, every budget's always focused on economic development for that jurisdiction. You make a really good point in that a lot of times that what's being announced isn't just a provincial program. It's often the province working in conjunction with the federal government. And a lot of times it's a combined program, and each province might have their own sort of variation or twist on how they implement the funding that they might be receiving from the federal government. So I guess it's important to know that, you know, the program might be administered by a particular province, but the funding could actually be coming from the government of Canada. So really good point there. What were some of the specific programs or funding allocations announced in the budgets that maybe caught your attention that businesses in Canada should know about? Maybe start out west, maybe on the West Coast, British Columbia.
Definitely, yeah. And so with a lot of the programs that we've seen announced in these provincial budgets, what we'll see a lot of the time is that the provinces will announce how much money is being allocated towards a specific industry or a specific problem. And then they will come up with the program. They'll allocate that money towards it, and then they'll give it to what is called the Western Economic Diversification Canada Agency. And so then this is a funding agency that will then get that funding. They'll figure out what the program is going to be for that funding, of who's going to be eligible for this, what the project requirements are for it, and when the deadline should be for it. They'll come up with those programs, and those will be announced at a later date. But for the most part, they'll be in charge of a lot of the programs that we'll talk about today. And it's also important to note that recently, the Western Economic Diversification Canada Agency has also gone through and created the new provincial variants of itself to go through and operate for BC, which is the Pacific Can variant, and Alberta, which is now Prairies Can. And those are the names of the two new agencies that came out from the Western Economic Diversification Canada Agency. For the most part, too, starting off over in British Columbia, we can see that the province is investing in a lot of specific sectors like life sciences and forestry and mining, but probably the largest amount of funding that they've put together is $195 million was put together for different grants for the BC life sciences sector. And so these are going to create a lot of different, they're aiming for over 32,000 jobs, 400 research and development projects all being put together. And this is to help different various research and development projects in the life sciences sector across the province.
So with a lot of these programs, I guess, you know, we hear the announcement and there's lots of money there. So it's very exciting, but often we have to wait a little bit for the details, don't we?
Yes.
Before we know the specific programs that will be available and the eligibility criteria, the application deadlines, and those kinds of details. But that's, I guess that's what you do at MentorWorks, right? You guys are constantly monitoring that information and letting people know when the programs are open and an intake's available and how they might access that funding.
Absolutely. And let me tell you, it's not easy. It is the governments are announcing programs and then they have short application windows and we have to announce when those application windows are also closing to our clients. And so I'm part of the marketing team over at MentorWorks. And part of what we do is that we'll go through and publish on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. We publish regular blogs and articles that just cover what the government is doing in the past week, what new programs are announced, what changes to programs have been announced, what deadlines are coming up. And we send that off so then that way, if anyone in our audience wants to know, okay, what should I be aware of? What are upcoming deadlines I should be aware of? They have a go-to source for that. But it's also because then the government will never be accused of being a great job of promoting their programs. They go through and they'll announce the programs. They have these awesome programs that will go through and help fund businesses and pretty much make life-changing investments to these businesses. But the government doesn't go through and announce to everyone that, hey, these are all of our programs and this is a nice organized way that you can view all of them. The government will go through and create the programs and that's their job. And it's our job on the MentorWorks side to make sure that businesses know about these programs and that we can go through and help spread the word about them and just give that information in a nice organized and concise way that people can go through and read these programs and actually understand what the government is talking about. And so we're doing that, again, with the help of Ryan, too, to help spread the word across Canada of what these programs are announced in the budgets are.
Yeah, I mean, that's really good to know because I know I'm always surprised at how short some of the intake periods can be. And even if you get an application and you're eligible and you make the deadline within the window, there's still a possibility of funding running out in particular programs. So really great to have such a valuable resource kind of monitoring all those developments. Just returning to BC, you mentioned, they targeted some specific sectors. What did they do in terms of, on the job creation side or economic development side? Any announcements there?
Definitely lots and lots of announcements, a bit too much for me to cover fully in this program. But what they've gone through and done was that they had a landmark investment of post-secondary research jobs are getting about $4.3 billion allocated to them over the next 3 years for just the province alone. And so this is, again, a little bit vaguer of they have a bunch of different research and post-secondary facilities across the province, but that's going to create so much more jobs. And that's also going to create a whole lot of experiences and a lot of training for new graduates as soon as they, while they're in school or while they're just recently graduated, a whole lot more experience under their belt for being able to join the workforce with some research and development experience over in BC. We're also seeing a lot of funding towards healthcare training. About $25 million will be added to the current amount of healthcare training programs. And this is for long-term care homes, assisted living homes, and home care industries in general. And so they're aiming to have about 5,000 new professionals enter the healthcare sector this year from that investment.
And I gather those will be much needed healthcare professionals from everything we're seeing in the newspaper these days. Now, I know from my own tax experience, British Columbia has always been a leader in terms of, climate action initiatives. And certainly they were the first to introduce a carbon tax, for example, in Canada. So definitely a leader, on the forefront of sound environmental policy. What do they have on the funding side as far as, clean technology initiatives?
Wonderful. Yeah. So they have the Clean BC program is their bread and butter when it comes to different clean tech and funding initiatives for overall green economies. And they also have their roadmap to 2030, which they're aiming for net zero of all different building and transportation costs and all a whole bunch of different sectors all being net zero emissions by 2030. And so the Clean BC program itself has a whole bunch of different subsections within it, but the overall plan of Clean BC is getting an extra $1 billion of funding for this year. And so that's going to help towards different clean energy funds will be in there. First Nations Clean Energy Business Fund will also be in there, as well as a BC Hydro Electrification Plan. Really doubling down on that clean energy and helping us to get more closer towards those 2030 goals that the province has set.
Very good, and really not surprising that they've allocated so much funding to those initiatives. How about their neighbor in Alberta? What was their focus coming out of this year's budget?
Absolutely. So to no one's surprise, it's again, jobs is right up there at the top of their priorities. And so they're creating a whole lot of different jobs in agriculture, in technology, aviation divisions. Those three alone are going to have about $171 million. And that's just for additional creation of new jobs in that sector. They're also going through and adding about $30 million to apprenticeship and certification programs in the province to help get people started, new graduates, get some experience on their under their feet. And we're going to be going through and investing about $64 million into the Canada Alberta Job Grant, which is that training program I referenced earlier. And so that's a fantastic program that, again, just goes through and gives new skills to current employees. And the government loves to fund that program because they'll help help get employees new skills that they can then take to multiple jobs, even if they don't decide on staying at their current job. And it also helps the current workplace that will go through and actually pay for that training program.
And if memory serves, I think they had allocated quite a bit of funding towards infrastructure investments. Is that true?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, we're seeing about, biggest investment by far is probably, we've got kind of almost a tie with construction is having about $1.8 billion. And that's for, again, new roads and bridges that will be out there. And that can be a lot of businesses can help out with procurement contracts for those different roads and bridges that will be created. And $1.5 billion for First Nations Development Fund. And so this is a huge investment that they've gone through and they've wanted to commit to 5,000 different projects all across the First Nations, First Nations community. And they want to go through and help fund different projects and help that community out with this huge investment of funding. They've also made some amendments to the Tourism Levy Act, which was a program that they were going through, and they would have to help increase tourism within the country. And so now that COVID is starting to subside and that we're starting to get more tourism in, they really want to amp up that program to help get more tourism back into the province.
Just don't call that tourism levy a sales tax.
Good to know.
They don't like sales tax in Alberta. How about, moving eastward, how about in Saskatchewan? Any major announcements there?
Yeah, so we had about $3.1 million will be allocated towards helping export development, and these will be different projects of companies that are part of Saskatchewan, and they want to start selling their products or services to foreign markets, and that's primarily outside of Canada. And so that'll be a huge program for, again, primarily done through CanExport, but also other programs adjacent to CanExport, which will help out with businesses starting to sell their products and services overseas and into the US and other foreign markets. And so that can include digital products too. So something that you're not actually shipping over or exporting yourself, but you are putting it onto online databases, and you'll need translation costs and marketing costs and whatnot. This program can help out with those different costs. We're also seeing a lot more startup costs to help some startups out with getting their feet off the ground. And they have a tech-specific startup called the Enhancement of Saskatchewan Technology Startup Incentive. And so that program is coming in at about $2.5 million per year, and they're providing about non-refundable 45% income tax credits.
Yeah, good point. And I guess it's important to know that MentorWorks doesn't just deal with applications for straight government grant funding. They also help businesses obtain income tax credits or other tax credits that they might qualify for.
Absolutely, definitely. And there's also a huge program from Saskatchewan called the Small Business Tax Rate, which was a temporary program that they've put into place, and that they're extending that one to the 2% on July 1st in 2023. And so businesses can earn up to $600,000 off their tax rates using that program too.
I know sometimes it seems like the provinces out west are almost competing with each other when it comes to economic development. So one will allocate a lot of funding, and then very often the others will follow suit or sometimes take a little bit different approach, but they'll offer a similar kind of program because they don't want to lose business to their neighbor. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, what did Manitoba have to say?
I think that Manitoba, they went through and they created a lot more. They did a large push for startup funding as well, too. They allocated $50 million to the New Venture Capital Fund. And so that's assisting businesses that are in the growing stage of their startup. And so they want to go through and help to create new startups within that community. They're really doubling down on trying to have Manitoba become more so a good startup hub that businesses can come through and they can grow in Manitoba. We're also seeing a lot more. They have about a $900,000 incentive for businesses that are looking to move to Manitoba and start and create a location over there or a plant over there. And so then
I was just going to say, there's that competition I was referring to.
Exactly. Yep. So trying to
please
encourage,
continue.
Yep. Trying to encourage businesses to come through and open up shop in Manitoba. And so again, kind of friendly competition between provinces of having businesses move there, open up plants, create new jobs and new opportunities. And overall, it's benefiting Canadians across each of these provinces.
That's a very good point. A little bit of competition, probably a good thing for the overall business environment in Canada.
Definitely. Yeah. And so we're seeing a lot of also agriculture programs. And so across both Manitoba and Saskatchewan, they both have similar funding programs of where they're paying up to $100 million into the Agri-Assurance, Agri-Stability, Agri-Investment, and Wildlife Damage Compensation programs. And so pretty much what each of these programs are is that they are different programs for different risks that businesses in the agriculture industry may face. And so if your crops 1 year don't turn out as they should, then there's a program that can help you with that. And if your livestock gets a disease, there's programs that can help you with that too, because these can be huge hits to some of these businesses. And Canada wants to make sure that when you start up an agriculture business, we can help you during the tough times and that you can help us during the high times.
Yeah, I think that's a very good program. So it's good to see that continue. I know Manitoba is not a fan of the carbon tax, but they do, you know, introduce various environmental initiatives. What did they have to say in terms of climate change?
Yep. So they'll be investing about $1.5 million into the Conservation and Climate Fund. And so that's leveraging third-party investments to advance Manitoba's core climate objectives for a cleaner tomorrow. And so pretty much we're going through and having a lot of these different similar programs also, of where they have the International Institute for Sustainability program that they're investing $1.3 million into. And a lot of these programs are going through and figuring out how can we create new products and services that will help the overall industry be more sustainable and overall more green friendly. And we're finding that through different businesses with different tech adoption programs and different research and development programs for developing these kinds of products. So it's interesting to see which of the provinces kind of allocate more money towards these different kinds of programs and what the results of those kinds of allocations are and who kind of gets a product that ends up catching and kind of becoming more of a hot product across Canada and other provinces and even other countries too.
Yeah, very interesting indeed. And I think sometimes a lot of the provinces also, when they announce funding, sometimes it'll be targeted toward a particular municipality or there'll be sort of municipal partnerships at play. Did any of the provinces, you know, focus on that or announce anything along those lines?
Yep. Well, Manitoba has a $25 million Building Sustainable Communities program. So we've got the community engagement program with about $100 million over the course of the next 3 years. And that's going towards different sports, arts, and heritage programs over different municipalities and just encouraging communities to come out and come back into the community now and have more programs to bring people out and things to do. And we've also got the Disability Services Program, which is about $13.8 million going towards communities that are different municipalities adapting for disabilities and bringing in different ramps and whatnot and different community things.
Wow, that's a lot of government funding, Matt. Clearly, you know, a lot of big plans by the provinces. As we mentioned earlier, sometimes it takes a little bit of time for those plans to actually turn into, you know, specific programs with formal applications and deadlines for those applications and eligibility criteria. How long, like in your experience, how long does that normally take? Like when we see some of these programs launched throughout this year or... You know, I think in some cases, I know in budgets, they're very famous for announcing the big number, the total amount of funding, but sometimes it'll be spread out over a number of years. It could be, you know, 3, 4, 5, in some cases, even 10 years of funding, which the government that's presenting the budget may or may not, you know, continue along with those plans. But, you know, in your experience, like how soon will we start to see some of these programs or more specific programs for the allocated funding announced?
Great question. Yeah, it really does depend on the programs. A lot of these programs will also be similar to programs that are created every year. And so what we'll see a lot of the time is that the overall amount of funding will be announced, like you said, and then the programs that are currently existing will just get a new funding top up on it. And so if a program has also gone through an election, and so they have gone through, they've gotten an election, maybe the budget came out, then the election happened, and then they've changed parties, then we'll see a lot more of a lag time on that one. And so it can really range between 2 to 10 months, I would say. And that would be the majority of programs would fit between that 2 to 10 month window, a very large window. But that's usually what it looks like for if there's a larger program that has been announced with a ton of funding and that we have no other program that's similar to it, it's going to take some more time for it to be announced. But when there's a program that's pretty much almost the exact same as what it's been every year, and they just have yet to announce that it's this specific program that's getting the top up, then that can take probably about 2 months or even a lot of times less time. And sometimes they'll even announce it in the program of when the actual or in the budget of what the actual program is that's getting the funding.
So that's good news. It sounds like, you know, we'll see specific criteria fairly soon for some of these programs. And you made a really good point earlier, you know, when they announce the funding and throw the big number out there, I don't know if it's intentional or not, but it often sounds like it's new funding. And a lot of times, you know, it may be new, but, you know, sometimes there's new programs being introduced, but a lot of times it's additional funding for something that was previously existing. So in some cases, the program parameters may already be set up. It's just a question of how much more money might be available.
Absolutely. Definitely. That happens a lot on here. And a lot of the time it's top-ups of funding are announced as new programs, and then later on they're added onto the old programs. But we've done that. That happens a few months down the line when people are forgetting about the budget.
Yeah. And it's easy for a specific program to get lost in so many announcements and so much funding in such a short period of time. Thanks for, covering as much as you can. We can't possibly cover all the different programs that were announced in the budgets this past spring, but it is good to know some of the key areas that the governments have decided to focus on. You know, if someone listening wants to find out a little bit more about some of these programs, where's the best place to go, or what do you recommend?
Sure. So the best spot that you can go to get more information on all of these programs that were mentioned in this recording was mentorworks.ca. So mentor, as in a mentorship, and then works, as in working, .ca. And so you can go to mentorworks.ca/budgets, and you can see all of the available information on here on each of these programs. If you're interested in having a program or applying for one of these programs, you can go through and contact us or book a meeting with our team at mentorworks.ca/contact. And we also have our funding directory that has a list of available different government grant, loan, tax credit, and wage subsidy programs. And it's an interactive tool that lets you go through and choose which provinces you want to see the funding for, what kind of projects that you would like to have funded, as well as search for any programs by name. We have that available, and that's at mentorworks.ca/funding.
Yeah, it's a really good website. I know I actually follow the blog quite a bit, and there's lots of great articles and good information on some of the programs that are coming up, and a lot of great deadline information there too, to sort of warn you, when an intake is happening or when a deadline is approaching to try to apply for government funding. So definitely would recommend people check that website out. Matt, thank you so much for all the great information today. I really appreciate it.
Jim, thank you. It's been an honor coming on the podcast.
It was our pleasure, Matt. And that's it for this episode of Ryan Talks Tax. As always, we'd love to hear what you think about the podcast. Please send your questions, comments, or suggestions to webinars@ryan.com. Thanks for listening.